Number one, LSU, 13-0, and number two, Alabama, 11-1. The national championship game, Monday night, January 9th, in New Orleans. Darce, if Alabama wins a close game here, what would that mean to you?
That would mean to me that both teams won once, so I'm not sure who the best team in the
nation
is. Well,
let's pretend you're a voter. Who are you putting number one?
Oh, man, that's a tough decision.
No, it's not. It's
it really isn't. No, it's not. It really isn't.
No. You're wrong.
No, you're wrong. No, tell you right. First of all, there's going to be AP voters who vote LSU number one if it's a close game.
That's fine, and they're all wrong because this is the national championship game.
The mythical.
The first game does not matter. The second game matters. Let me give you a comparison. Who won the Super Bowl 2007
totally different.
Season?
Totally different. Totally
Whoa,
different.
How's that different?
There was a playoff.
That doesn't change the fact
it
that
does change
New
the
England
fact.
Beat no. the Giants in the regular season. New England was undefeated going into the Super Bowl. The Giants won the Super Bowl. The Giants won that final game, and they were Super Bowl champions. It's the same concept
They were
here.
Super Bowl champions, but I would walk around the office and ask people who the best team
that doesn't
is.
Matter. LSU might you know still end up being a better team than Alabama, but if Alabama wins this game, they are number one. They are the national champions.
They are number one. They will be the coaches' poll BCS national champions. I agree with you that.
And you would have to vote them number one.
In the coaches' poll, you have to. In the AP, you don't.
Yeah, you should.
You should, but that's the difference. In the Super Bowl, there's no voting in a poll.
I understand.
There's no voting to see who plays in the mythical national championship. There's a playoff.
My point is, even if Alabama wins and we still come out of it thinking LSU's a better team, assuming we think that now, then I don't care. If Alabama wins this game, they would be number one for me, no doubt about it. The only way I could see that statement changing is if they win like on a fluky play or a terrible call or something like that.
Let me tell you honestly, Alabama beating LSU, listen, I think we both agree that both these teams are great.
Yeah.
Probably the two best teams in the nation, maybe two of the top three.
I think
but if Alabama wins, it's going to fuel the fire a little bit more for a playoff. It's just going to.
It doesn't. No, it's not, because there's always going to be a fire for a playoff, and it doesn't really matter. It falls on deaf ears, unfortunately. But anyway, let's get to this game. Both teams are healthy. Alabama left tackle Barrett Jones, he was playing most of the LSU game with an injured ankle. He hurt his ankle early in that game. Two good ankles now could make a difference. There are a lot of things that could make a difference for Alabama, like Marquise Mays had a bad ankle in the first game. You know, maybe it's one big play that Marquise Mays could make, something like that. Or maybe one big block that Barrett Jones could make. But Alabama obviously needs to generate more offense, and LSU needs to as well. Don't be surprised that the start of this game is sloppy. These teams are going to be a little rusty. And then I think we should look at this statistically, Darston. Tell me what you make of what we see on paper, okay? LSU scores 38.5 points per game.
Okay.
Alabama scores 36 points per game.
Pretty even.
LSU allows 10.5 points per game. They're number two in scoring defense. Alabama allows 8.8 points per game. They're number one in scoring defense.
Okay.
LSU gives up 252.1 yards per game. That's number two in total defense. Alabama, 191.2 yards per game. Number one in total defense. The website I use, cfbstats.com, goes back 5 years. This number, 191 yards per game, is so much better than all the previous four best total defense teams in the nation. I mean, this is a staggering number, under 200 yards per game.
Both defenses are amazing. I would say both teams' defenses also have a different strength. I would say LSU's strength is the secondary, and I think Alabama's strength is the linebackers and maybe the front. I would take Alabama's linebackers over LSU's linebackers.
Well, yeah, we talked about this the first time they met. Alabama plays with four linebackers. They rush the passer.
Right.
Not really the case with LSU. Their pass rush comes from the defensive ends, mostly Mingo and Montgomery. They've combined for 17 sacks. Now, with Alabama, you've got Upshaw and Hightower is really the guys who really make the big plays. They're linebackers. But I don't really think the defenses have a strength, because I think both teams have great secondaries, great linebackers. LSU's are a little underrated.
No, Alabama's
very
secondary
good
is great, too.
Lines
no,
too.
Agreed. And Alabama's secondary is great, too. I'm just looking at the difference of the both teams, even though they're ranked number one and two in defense.
What about the fact that they both score over 36 points per game?
It's a little surprising. I would say most people would think that these teams score in the 20s. They play defense if they look at this game. But if you look at some of their past results throughout the year, you see a lot of games where they've scored 42 and 37, 38. I don't know.
I think it's deceiving.
It is deceiving because if you look on paper, you wouldn't see two great offenses.
No, that's the point. The point I would make is that their defense has led to a lot of their points.
Sure.
Whether it's
field position,
scoring touchdowns, mm-hmm. field position, kick returns and punt returns. These offenses are not nearly as good as those numbers would indicate, and I think that was evident the first time these two teams met in what I thought was a pretty terrible game. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, I suppose. LSU's number one in turnover margin. Alabama is number 25. The Tigers have recovered 12 fumbles and intercepted 18 passes. Alabama has recovered 6 fumbles and intercepted 12 passes. So I think that's a big difference there. Look, both teams protect the ball very well. Their quarterbacks do not throw a lot of interceptions. They do not fumble a lot. But LSU, Darce, could win the game by forcing more turnovers. That's more of an LSU specialty.
Correct. And like we talked about off air, too, a very close game, you have to look at the special teams units, too.
Yeah.
And I think LSU gets a slight edge there.
Slight?
Maybe even major edge.
I'd say significant edge.
In the special teams department. The punting, the field position battle could be huge, your field goal kicking, and your return game.
LSU has outscored opponents 267-61 after halftime. Remember, this team did not pick up a first down against Georgia in the first half in the SEC championship game, and they won that game going away. They killed Georgia. Let's talk about the first meeting between these two teams. 9-6 in overtime. LSU won that game. Alabama made 2 field goals and missed 4 field goals. But what did you take away from that game and apply it to the round 2?
Well, here's what I'm looking at. I was looking at stat-wise here, and this is what I saw. Well, first of all, you're right. Alabama missed 4 field goals, so that's huge. I also look at some field position, and I look at 2 big things that factor in, and I'm going to tell you right now which one of them is. Jarrett Lee.
Right.
3 of 7, 2 interceptions. That's not going to happen this time around. There's a very slim chance that he gets in the game.
Right.
So you have to take away. He threw 2 picks. First of all, the first pick he threw, Alabama got the ball on their own 47, so basically midfield. And then the second time he threw a pick, they had the ball at LSU's 35. That's 2 short fields because of his interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, LSU, they made a field goal one time and missed a field goal another time. But I think that's huge. I think, to me, the quarterback play in this game could be huge. I know we look at the defenses, but you need a quarterback to make plays or make sure they don't make a mistake type of play.
Alabama was inside the LSU 35-yard line 7 times and got 6 points out of it. So you mentioned Jarrett Lee giving Alabama short fields. That's not going to happen in this game. It might be Jordan Jefferson doing it, but it's probably not going to be Lee. And Alabama, the key will be if they can capitalize, maybe get in the end zone, do a little bit better in the red zone, and I think just kick shorter field goals because Alabama, they don't kick well over 40 yards.
No, they don't.
They kick pretty well, pretty accurately under 40 yards. What do you think when Alabama has the ball? What do they need to do?
Well, we all know who is going to be getting the ball. Trent Richardson's going to be getting the ball. He got the ball the first time around. He carried 23 times, even though it was only for 89 yards. And he's also their leading receiver with 80 yards receiving. So mm-hmm. expect him to get a lot more attention. Alabama, I think, is going to have to find somebody else on the offense to be a playmaker.
Yeah, and see, here's the thing. We say things like that, like they're going to have to get a big play from Mays or maybe Richardson. Or maybe they use Lacy a little bit more just to keep Richardson fresh. I mean, Lacy only got 5 carries in that first game. But I honestly think they could win a game.
They could.
I think it could be 9-6 again. Everybody expects more offense and law of averages and the fact that these teams do average over 36 points, 36 or more points per game, says there should be more offense. But I wouldn't be surprised if they're 20 combined points. I mean, there were 15 last
time. No, I agree with you, and I think the same thing. I think you're right. I think they could. Listen, Rich, they're going to run the ball with Richardson, and McCarron's going to make some smart throws, short throws. But you never know. A team gets a touchdown at 7 points, and then it's a field goal game the rest of the night. I mean, who knows? I mean, it could be a very low-scoring game again.
It's obvious they have to run the ball because I just don't trust McCarron to win this game. And the more you throw against LSU, the more likely you are to throw an interception. When you talk about Morris Claiborne and Tyrann Mathieu, 2 All-Americans at cornerback, the safeties are really good with Reed and Brandon Taylor. And then you've got Therald Simon as your nickelback who leads the team with 10 pass breakups. And the other thing about this secondary is they tackle. The top three tacklers for LSU are all defensive backs. It's pretty crazy how active they are.
Now, I would say, though, on the flip side, the same thing. Jordan Jefferson.
I don't want to go there yet.
All right.
I have one point to make about Alabama.
I'm jumping.
When Alabama has the ball, I think actually this is, to me, the single most important thing that has to change from game one to game two. Negative plays. I talked about it on Monday, November 7th, 2 days after that game. Alabama had a lot of negative plays that stalled their drives. LSU's defense recorded 6 tackles for a loss in that game for 26 yards. Alabama's defense had 5 tackles for a loss, but for only 8 yards. So I remember watching it, and then, you know, Alabama would be moving the ball a little bit. I mean, they did move the ball on LSU.
They did move it.
But their drives would stall because LSU would get in the backfield and make a big play. That's something to really keep an eye on. Alabama can't afford that. You know, neither team can be in third and long. It's just not going to suit them.
No, and it's the thing, too, is like we saw in the first game, Alabama would move the ball down to the 30-yard line and get stuck there, and then they'd have to kick a 45, 47-yard field goal, and that's just not their strength.
Now talk about LSU when they have the ball.
Well, again, we were going to talk about this. We know they run the ball very well. They've got Ford and Ware and Hilliard and all these guys, and even Russell Shepard could come out of the blue, do something spectacular. It goes with Jordan Jefferson, I think. I really do. He manages the offense. Jarrett Lee was horrendous in the first game. He got worse as the season progressed, and then you didn't see him anymore.
Well, what do you think Jefferson has to do? Do you think he has to make plays, or do you think he just has to avoid mistakes?
No, I think he has to make a play. Listen, what's the biggest thing that they do besides run the ball? Every now and then, Reuben Randall gets
deep. It's not going to happen.
No, I know it's not going to happen.
it's probably not going to happen.
But I'm saying if he can come up with a big play, it doesn't have to be a long 60-yard pass. I'm just saying if he can come up with a big play on a 3rd and 8 and a 3rd and 9 and he can catch a 20-yard pass and get them down the field, then they can go with the strength of the running game. You can't just rely on the running game all night. You're going to have to throw the ball.
Well, that's the thing. If you think they have to score some points to win, yeah. But honestly, I could see this game playing out exactly like the first game played out. I could see.
I'm going to be bored. I'm going to be bored because honestly, listen.
Yeah, you might be bored. Get ready to be bored.
The Alabama defense is so good. Spencer Ware had 16 carries for 29 yards the first game. Okay? So you're going to have to throw the
ball. Yeah, but Michael Ford had 11 carries for 72.
No, I know, but
that's
you're still going to have Reuben Randall,
by the way, 2 catches for 19 yards, and Jordan Jefferson, 6 of 10 for 67.
Right. Again, they had Jarrett Lee killed them when he threw the 2 picks. But I'm just saying is they're going to have to throw the ball. You're going to have to get more offense than just being able to run the ball. You're not going to be able to have that much success running the ball all night. You're just not.
Here's what I think about that. I think that they could theoretically have success running the ball in the second half because this has been their pattern. Not a great first half against Arkansas and a terrible first half against Georgia, but in the second half, they wore those teams down because they have so many running backs and they have a really good offensive line. Alabama's defense is better than Georgia's very good, but Alabama's is better. Alabama's defense is a lot better than Arkansas's. But I think in the fourth quarter, they might actually be able to run the ball if they stick with it and the key for both teams don't fall behind because both teams really need to run the ball.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're right. If LSU's down by 10, they can't keep running the ball in the fourth quarter.
I just think they have to soften up the defense and eventually hope that they can use their big physical backs. Do you think they're going to wear the Alabama down? Do you think they're going to run the option? This has been talked about. Alabama supposedly vulnerable against the side-to-side stuff, the option that they saw in one game. I don't think they're going to. I just don't think that's really LSU style. They have bruisers. They don't have
options. No, they do, but
backs.
I think Jefferson can run the ball. You're gonna have to run it
I'm
somewhat.
Not buying
you're not going to just hand the ball up the middle 4 straight times.
Alabama's been off for a month and a half. They're going to be prepared for
– Of course.
I don't think you're going to run the option successfully. I think that's an overrated thing that
probably
people
is.
Are talking about.
But I will say this. Let me just make one more point about Jefferson. Jefferson, since the Alabama game, is completing almost 70% of his passes with only 1 interception.
Let me tell you something. LSU, since the Alabama game, has been rolling. They've had some bad moments, but they've played some really good teams. Like Arkansas and Georgia are good teams. And they still ended up beating the snot out of those teams. The final score was
they always pull away, like you said.
They are playing great football. I don't think Alabama has played as well as LSU in that first game or since that first game. I think LSU has been the better team. And I know Alabama feels like they left points off the board. There were plays that they could have made in the first game that they didn't make. Well, LSU feels the exact same
sure.
way. And you know what? In football, in sports, there are always going to be plays that didn't get made. I don't see a reason why LSU doesn't win this game. I think they were better in Tuscaloosa. I think they're still. I think they've gotten better since that game because their quarterback situation's even better. I'm going to take LSU. We'll break down the game a little bit more, but I'm not even going to save it. I'm going to take LSU.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. You know, that's a big thing is here, Alabama. Sure, they were in home. They were home in front of 100,000 people.
Yeah.
Now this game is it's a neutral site game. It probably should be slanted toward LSU since it's in New Orleans.
They own that stadium.
I know. So don't you think that gives them a little bit of a slight edge? Slight edge.
Maybe a very insignificant edge, but very slight. I think the big edge, the significant one, is the special teams. Big, huge edge for LSU. Their kicker's better. Drew Alamon, 16 for 18 this season. He is on a roll. But the only thing I don't like about him is that he has not been tested in a pressure situation in a long time. It's been a while. Their punter, Brad Wing, though, 44.1 yards per punt, 23 punts inside the 20.
Yeah, he's amazing.
18 punts over 50 yards. 18 punts of 50 or more yards. LSU has allowed 6 punt return yards all season long. That is just incredible. They allow less than 20 yards per kickoff return, and we know about their return game. Tyrann Mathieu has changed both the Arkansas game and the Georgia game with his exploits in punt returns. I don't think that's going to happen against Alabama. I'm just going to say
it
that
should.
Now.
It shouldn't. But I don't think this notion of not kicking to them. I mean, I think that they will kick to them.
I kind of think they'll kick to them too. I just think that they have under Nick Saban covered punts well.
Yeah, they have.
And they're very athletic.
And that's the thing. I don't think that it would be shocking to me if Mathieu broke one against the Alabama special teams too.
For Alabama, they have struggled with kicks of 40 or more yards. That's Cade Foster's job. He's 2 for 9 in those situations. In field goals, 40 or more yards. Jeremy Shelley, 16 for 20 this year, but as long as 37. So basically, Darren, the reason why I think LSU is going to win is I think Brad Wing is going to punt them to the victory, basically. He's going to flip the field position, and LSU might be taking 25-yard or 30-yard field goals, 35-yard field goals. They have a good enough kicker, even if it's 45 yards. Alabama is going to be backed up in their own territory. If they have a good drive and it stalls at the 30, it's a 47-yard kick. I have no faith in them to make those kicks.
But I was going to ask you, do you think Saban thinks to himself, listen, I don't have any faith in these clowns either. I'm going to have to just go for it. On a 4th and 2, maybe you go for it at the 30.
If you remember what Alabama beat writer Don Kausler said to us 2 days ago, he said Saban's stubborn like that. He thinks if the drive stalls at the 30, he will trot Cade Foster out there. For the kick, I tend to agree with you. I think if it's 4th and 2 or less, you've got Heisman Trophy caliber running back. you can go play action. They like their tight end. I think he should go for it. I don't know if he would, but I think he should go for it.
It's going to be interesting.
4th and short, long field goal attempt. I think absolutely Alabama should go for it.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see. That's to me is one of the keys of the game. Is you're right because Alabama showed last time that they have their field goal kicking game beyond 40 yards is a nightmare.
They also showed, though, that even if they give LSU a short field, let me check how many total yards they gave up in the first game. 239. You know, so it's not like if they give LSU a short field that LSU is definitely going to be able to drive down and convert and make something out of it.
No, I know.
They could miss it on 4th and 2. Give LSU a short field, and there'd be really no consequences because their defense is so good. I think they have to take some gambles.
To me, that's the biggest thing is LSU only had 91 passing yards in the first game. I think they eclipse that number because they'll throw the ball
number.
More. Obviously, Lee's interceptions cost them short fields. And you're right. LSU's got to remember, listen, don't make mistakes. If we can't do anything, punt it. Let Alabama start inside the 10-yard line.
I broke down why I think LSU's going to win this game. What are your thoughts on this game?
I have to take LSU here. Now, listen, I took Alabama the first time around.
Me too.
Okay, I thought playing at home was going to give them an edge, and I didn't trust the quarterback situation at LSU. But things have changed. I think LSU is also playing a lot better, and now I don't trust the Alabama special teams, the kicking game. And I also, I've yet to see Alabama come up with a big play in the receiving game.
Yeah, it happens, but it's not going to happen. It's probably not going to happen against LSU. I'm banking on that too.
But I've seen LSU come up with plays in the receiving game.
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to happen.
No, but I'm just saying if you're looking at comparing, who on the Alabama receiving game gives you confidence on a 3rd and 8?
Trent Richardson.
Oh God,
that's the thing. It has to be Mays or Smelly or Hanks. You know, another thing that Don Kausler said is that it's somebody else every game. They don't have that one go-to guy. They don't have that Julio Jones. And maybe Mays' ankle was a big factor in the first game.
He could be huge. But he could come up big, but I don't agree with it either. I don't think so either. Yeah. And I just think LSU is playing so well right now. I'm going to go with LSU. I pick LSU 20-17. Maybe that's too high for some people. But
I mean, that means each team is going to score two touchdowns, and I don't see that happening.
Well, I guess you're right. Two defensive touchdowns. How about that?
I could see it being 14-13.
No, I could. I could see a 13-10 game also. I agree with you on the aspect is slow starts. I know people are going to get upset, but this game could be 3-3 at halftime again.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be close. I mean, I can't imagine game is more than 6 or 7 points. I'd be shocked if it's that
unless high. something crazy happens.
Tyrann Mathieu returning punts, you know, back in that first game, he wasn't doing this. This is a recent development for him. He was having a so-so year returning punts until Arkansas and Georgia. We know Georgia is an absolute mess on special teams. If he can change the game, you know, that's huge. But that's why I think Alabama's going to be able to stay in the game. I just don't think they're going to give up an explosive play either on defense or on special teams. I just don't think they have enough offense. They are a one-trick pony on offense. Against a good defense like that, it's like Trent Richardson, and there's nobody else. End of story, right?
It's going to be interesting to see if Lacey does get a lot more action this time around.
Well, I want to thank everybody for being along with us all year. We'll have a podcast after the game. I'm going to be out of town.
Aren't we doing the Senior Bowl podcast?
No, I don't think so. I'm going to be out of town. I'm going to be in Los Angeles on vacation, so right now I'm trying to figure out logistically how I'm going to make this podcast happen. It's probably going to be me and Jerry Hinnan, our SEC blogger, via Skype next week. But if not, it'll be Chip Patterson and Hinnan, I believe, via Skype next week. So stay on iTunes, check it out, or check out the website, cbssports.com. We'll have something up for you after the game or maybe on Tuesday morning. But we can't wait for it, and I think I want to come back tomorrow, Darst, and talk about the other four BCS bowl games and kind of what we learned. Did you watch the Orange Bowl?
I watched about a half of it.
Yeah, that was a little crazy. Glad we didn't end up going to that one.
Me too.
It was too cold. See you later, everybody. We like LSU for the national championship.